Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up.
Breaking up with Linda McKay.
You said it, girl.
Jimmy Care.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Say
woo.
Breaking
up. Share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Good evening out there. I hope everybody had a wonderful day. Hey, it is Finding Out Friday. Where is this week gone? It's moving fast, fast, fast. I hope that each and every one of you out there keeping those blood vessels moving fast, 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 so you can stay aware, alert, and understand what's happening and stay woke. You know, we always say unity without harmony creates no peace, but unification with action creates total victories. This evening, we will be talking about Black History. We're going to be doing it all month here for life. But we have a wonderful guest coming on with us this evening. She has some information for you. She is history walking amongst us right now, today. We'll talk about her later. But before we get started, you know, I'd like to share this. You may have fundamental questions about yourself and your identity. Who am I? What should I do with my life? It is quite natural to feel unsure about these in this way to proceed. But if you haven't yet decided on your future courses, I feel the best thing is to just continue to go, plan your strategies, and do what you need to do for right now. And gradually, your full potential will emerge through. You know, it's about emerging through. It's about listening. It's about unification out there. And what we do, you know, our motto is here is never give in to your negativity. And I say your negativity because that's what stops you. Never give up on your dreams. Never retreat. You must proceed as the mighty, fearless lion, but always shining like the beautiful sun as you're tromping forward, no matter what. We have to continue to make the impossible possible, and we can do that. And this evening, the person that's coming on that we're going to introduce you to, and that's Miss Arlene Brown Harris. She was the first African-American female scientist for Chevron Oil. She's been around also. Miss Harris is the chair of the National Congress of Black Women, Los Angeles chapter. That's a wonderful organization. We'll get you some information before the show is over so you can look into and perhaps get into membership. They do wonderful things there. But before we get going, I'm just going to play this a little bit, and then we're going to bring Miss Harris in. Welcome in to Find It Out Friday. We have some information for you today. Remarkable human being, inside and out. I was introduced to Miss Arlene Harris through another empress, Lena Brown. And Lena Brown is a history maker within herself because she made sure that she grabbed young adults, old adults, whoever she could do, and tell them the importance of seeking higher education. And that is how I met Lena Brown at UCLA. And Lena Brown introduced me to Arlene Brown Harris, the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I have two history makers, two icons, two empresses, two queens, two empresses, and whatever you want to put them in, they are dynamic, dynamic people. And they're there to help. They work hard into the community. And on that note, I'm going to see if we have Ms. Harris on the line with us this evening. Arlene Brown Harris, are you with us? We're waking up with Linda Mac Shan.
Yes, I am, and it's a real pleasure to be with you tonight.
Well, it is a pleasure for you to take our time and come and care and share with us, because I was saying, you know what? We have history right here amongst us, and people that need to know your book, which is titled Arlene, was published, was it 2019? When did you publish your book, Ms. Harris?
Yes, it was 2019. I had the grand opening on November the 9th at the Carson Mall food court.
Okay.
Yes.
And that was a grand opening for that book?
Yes.
And that book, listeners, you must purchase it. We will not have time tonight to take you through it, but it's phenomenal because it's written by a phenomenal individual. And I'm again going to show our appreciation to you for just taking out your time. I know you're very, very busy. You just finished on the legislation slate for the district. What district were you, is your district, you were running for assembly district?
Yeah, the 64th ADM And the election just finished, so I'm one of the 7 candidate women that was elected. Usually they elect 7 men and 7 women, so I'm just happy and thank all the voters for voting for me.
Well, congratulations. Yes. Got that slate, that fit bill, so I know it's going in the Sacramento time. We know how the convention goes. If you need some assistance, just let me know. I keep my shoes packed at the door. You know I like to move with the change makers.
Thank you. I'll keep that in mind.
Please do. So this evening, you know, we're celebrating Black History, and you are an icon that's walking amongst us, and I don't know how you want to start. You know, I'm not one about, you know, doing too many questions, but you were with Chevron. When you started with Chevron, that was you. It was you, Aileen, and how many years were you there with them as a scientist?
38 years, totally, with about 10 different positions.
38 years, 10 different positions. And how did you get into that? That was a while back, and we know times were different, and you were not in there answering the phones and being the secretary. You was messing with the test tubes and testing that all and soil and things of that nature. That's serious stuff. So can you give us a little story about that, please?
Yes. When I started working for Chevron, Texaco, in the 70s, at that time I was just looking for a pastime job for the summer because I had this teaching position because I attended Alcorn A&M University and I had my Bachelor of Science degree. So I said, okay, I'll just work for Chevron just for the summer. So I took a position in Center Records, which was passing blueprint drawings to engineers that was working on improving the plant. And so when I got ready to leave after my 3 months of just part-time working, the manager came in and said, well, we have a job for a lab technician. And I kept saying, no, I'm not interested. I already have my position. And he said, well, why don't you just take the test along with several other ladies. And so I did. And the next day he called me and he said, come to my office. I did. He said, you know, you made 170 on the test. So that's the highest score ever made in Chevron history, which was a 3 hours aptitude test, you know. And I was like, wow. He said, well, would you like to work for us? I said, no, I already have a position. He said, well, what if we double your salary? Whatever they're going to pay you for teaching, would you come and work for us? And I was like, wow, you mean you're going to give me 2 times the amount of money that I was already offered? And I said, well, this is great, you know, thinking about the dollar signs and being raised up in Mississippi, the poorest state in the union. I said, well, I said, maybe I should try that. So I did. I accepted the position, and it was on the Gulf Coast. And I decided, yes, I will do this. And they had a 3-year training program, and you had to make at least 70 on the test that they administer to you every other week. So they were very, very heavy on training. They wanted to make sure that you knew what you were doing in the laboratory because you're working in a dangerous environment of life-threatening chemicals. So they didn't want any explosion. So I was one of the 6 candidates, which was 3 men and 3 women. So I ended up staying in the program because I passed the test. So they kept me there. And I was not on production, so I was in this room, and they would train me, and then I would do the testing, and then later on I would go and go to the next level. But during that time, they would give you like a little bonus every time you made an accomplishment, and it was a 3-year program. And after that, I qualified as a technician. And it wasn't easy because I was frightened. I mean, you had to have your safety gear on, safety shoes. I mean, you had to pay attention because you could get hurt and you could blow up the laboratory or you could do something to create havoc there, and it would create a fire. And so you just had to be very, very cautious. So I went through that program, and it was exciting just to know that I made it through for those 3 years, and I became fully qualified. And they had maybe about 100-plus different tests that you had to learn, and you had to be efficient in those testing, and you had to make sure you came to work on time, because if you didn't, then they could easily kick you out of the program. Mm-hmm. So, but it was long, it was difficult, and I put in a lot of extra hours because I was like, okay, I can do this, you know, being from a small town, black and poor, racist, a lot of things that was going on. But I just remember what my mom always taught me, that the sky is the limit. Limits. Anything that you put your mind to, you can do that. And this is what I've been doing all my life, even now. I'm always trying for something, not for recognition, but it's just mm-hmm. a part of me. Keep striving to be the best and to give to the community. I'm really big on community services.
Well, when you speak of the community services, I've attended, you know, a program that I was very, very much so excited about with the young scholars and how you guys encourage and empower and inspire the young adults, and to be a part of that, to hear the young adults speaking of, you know, their dreams and their goals, and praising the organizations for, you know, really, really believing in them, helping them believe in themselves. So that community work is awesome. Yes, you guys are very, very heavy, and you have some other things that are coming up too this month, brunches and things of that nature. But I don't want to get into the event thing. I want to get back with you and what your mother told you, that the sky is the limit. And because those words have stuck with you all your life, that's like your fuel. It is so remarkable. I tell young adults now that, you know, you might not listen, but as you grow and as you move through life, those words will come back to you. They're very, very, not a lot, but they stick with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, my saying here is with, and you're right in line with my favorite person, which is James Baldwin, and he say, whence, you know, whence you came. When you know whence you came, there are absolutely no limitations where you can go. And those words just stay with me, because you have to know, like you say, you came from Little Mississippi, black girl, poor racism, but you pushed on through that. And to be with Chevron for 38 years, you were kicking them down. And there were other people there, but they were not – they came in, they hired on later, but they was not in that science lab. You tested soil. You had a special assignment. What was it, the soil? You know, I don't know a lot about oil, but I know the gratings and before things move out. So actually, what was your large responsibility? I know it was all you had to be responsible, but what did you do with the soil? What type of scientist were you?
Well, I worked in a production laboratory. So it first started off as we tested raw materials. So we were getting products from Africa, China, all these different countries on a barge. So before Chevron, and we had a wharf in El Segundo, and before we could accept any raw material, it had to be tested because they have a minimum and maximum range. So once you test those products, you had to make sure it was accurate because you had to sign your name. And then if you call them to accept it and pump it into the tanks and there's a problem, then that's going to be a lot of retesting for Chevron and costing a lot of money. So my primary job was to test jet fuel for the JP4, which was the commercial jets. We had the pipeline that would send the product to LAX airport to fill up those jumbo jets that people are flying out on all the time. So you had to make sure that that product was correct, because you could mess up the engine, you could cause a crash. I mean, so many things could happen. So, and the other was the aviation gasoline for the small aircraft that you see flying around. We had different grades of that, and then we had the Navy special fuel, and that was for the submarine ships that's under the water. Then we tested transmission fluid for your vehicle, and we had contracts with car dealerships, all different types of motor oils, and, you know, the Delo 430. Now they probably changed the names, that I'm not there anymore. And it's just so many different products. And I think we had to learn about 180 different types of products. So I moved up to being the trainer, so I made this desk manual. And it was like a procedure book. It was called the Standing Operating Procedure. And then we had the ASTM procedure. So you had to make sure whoever you taught, or even yourself, that you had to be accurate. You didn't have any time for errors at all, because you know what could happen. And one thing I can say, Chevron was always big on training. Oh, my God. I mean, we were always in a conference learning a new product or a new procedure, a new piece of equipment, and they didn't mind putting you on a plane, shipping you different places to go to learn the information that you need to know. So some of the various positions that I had there at Chevron is when I said about 10, because during that time, you know, you had no control over what you could do and you could not, because it all came like in a package deal. And I first started out as a qualified lab technician, and then I was a trainer for all the new employees that was hired in the laboratory. I had to teach them how to run the test, and then I became the lead lab tech, whereas anytime something was employee did a test, I had to make sure it was accurate, because that person had to sign their name, and so did I, as lead lab tech. And then I was promoted to lab supervisor, so you know what that's like. You have a whole crew. You know, and I think I had about six different nationalities that worked for me, Hawaiian, Filipino, Hispanic. So all those was part of my lab technician that I had to govern and make sure that they knew what to do. And then they tacked on payroll. So I had to make sure that the checks was correct. And another one, and then I'm going to let you get in there, was the FOX coordinator, Policy 530 coordinators. That was just so much. And then before I retired, I was the relief plant manager there in the distribution center. So when my manager would go on vacation or had to go for training or whatever, I would take over his position and make sure that there was no spills, that everything ran smoothly. And so that's like I said, 10 jobs in one, but I got paid for a lab supervisor.
Oh, my goodness. So yeah. I guess with a test score of 170, they knew who they were requesting. And you had all of those 10 jobs because they knew it was going to get done, it was going to be thorough, and it was going to be done right. And that's so amazing, too. That's why I say we have history. It's a lot of things that are going on out there where we know about the history. But I had to really, really have you come on and share. You've been on before, but it's like so amazing to me of all these different, you know, positions and this heavy responsibility and such a dangerous, you know, when you think of scientists, I can see it now. I see you in the goggles and the shoes, and I think I mentioned to you the last time, they wouldn't have kept me. I sort of like went into, I've always been in the electronics thing, and I remember I was a lead bond inspector when in an S&J Industries that made the heat shield for the spaceship. And I was in Virginia working, and we made that heat shield. So when the spaceship went, you know, we had a tragedy. And my sister called and said, did you work on that in that division, right? I said, well, I had a little bit to do with it. So then I've always liked to do intricate work, you know, very, very detailed. So I moved back to Texas and worked for Texas Instrument. And I was a lead bond inspector there, in which I had to stare down into the microscope all day long. But, you know, it was at the time I was young. I'd wear my Hollywood floppers, as I say, my eyelashes. And every day after lunch, they would be pulling my head up off of that microscope, and my lashes would still be stuck on the lens. Okay, but I was getting the job there. Yeah. And then the last thing I did electronically, I worked as an inspector with the printed circuit board company, and I did all the drafts. And I would say they made the printed circuit boards for heart machines, right? And my number two inspection stamp was number two. So I have told everybody, if I ever have to go and be placed on a heart machine, if it is a number two on that panel, do not hook me up to that one, right? Because that was my inspector's number. So I'm listening to you taking on that big responsibility versus, oh, yeah, it was something done, but I could have never worked as a plant manager or anything of that nature because my temperament to handle with all of that diversity, I've been in the supervision, but you have done so many remarkable things. That's just that. And as I'm speaking with you, Ms. Harris, I keep hearing your mother saying, the sky is the limit. And that's the attitude that you took. And I know that that's the attitude that you share with all persons in the community, and especially with the young adults. And those few words, the sky is the limit, will carry a person a long way. And you are the example of that. As you're sharing this with us now, your book has such interesting information. I don't remember if I asked you if you were going to come out with book number two. Did I ask you about that? Did you mention something about in the making? Because there's so much there that needs to be shared.
That's true. At some point I will, but after we had the pandemic and I had so many books signing and places to go. I was invited back to my historical black college, and I was going to be honored. And so much I was planning to do, but, you know, because of the virus, everything sort of like became at a standstill. But, yes, I would love to write another book, which I've been drafting some information. But I really wanted to get this one out to, like, the 13-year-olds own up, because it to me, I'm only it's on Amazon.com and it's less than $20. And what I want people to be inspired, because I picked cotton as a young age, went to bed hungry many nights. I mean, we used to go and pick up moonshine to help. My mother had a fifth grade education. And just to tell you, I devoted a whole chapter to her because she was a type of person that she never stopped. Even with her fifth grade education, she started working at a convalescent home. And she learned before she passed, where she worked for 55 years. So that's where I got my stamina and go-getting from her, because she was an example for me. And she learned how to take blood pressures from bedpan, changing bedpan diapers for a patient. She was able to take their blood pressure and give medication. So that's how she worked herself up to a nurse's assistant. And her registration number and everything is in the state of Mississippi in their records. So she's she was so motivational. And she died last year in April.
Okay, my God, condolences to her.
Yeah, so but she was my backbone, my motivational. And one thing she said, kindness, and I always remember that. Sometimes I used to get really, really upset, or my attitude, you know, would go the flip side, and she would say, no, treat everybody with kindness, smile. And she said, you would catch more flies with honey if you're kind. And I always remember that, you know, because I found out through my career, even now, it works if you're kind, you smile, you know, even though you're upset, but you don't express it, because your facial expression can say a lot about you. People can read, you know, so it's like, you don't sweat the small stuff. And that's what I've learned to do.
Do not sweat the small stuff. Or, I love that. I love that. And I'm so glad that you mentioned kindness, because on last night's show, we shared the health benefits of being kind. And the gentleman that, the doctor that wrote down the five effects of kindness started with, you know, feeling happy. Kindness is good for the heart, and how we have to be kind to people and take care. And kindness improves relationships, and it does, as you're saying, you know, no matter what, you try not to let that show. You try to be kind about it, and that's hard to do. I have a personality, Miss Harris, is, you know, we gonna have dialogue. I believe in talking it out to get it out the way. Otherwise, not taking it from the kitchen to the living room. Let's take care of this right now, so we can continue to move forward. I'm learning because I'm very passionate with everything I do, voice wise and everything. Yeah. And a lot of times, people will take that passion for anger or whatever. Well, you get to a point in your life you really, really don't care about that. But within your heart, if no matter how you're putting it out there, that you it's about kindness, then it will work for you. Sometimes people don't get it, you know, because they're not kind, so they don't recognize kind when they see it. But it's like you say, that smiling face, or that it's all in the tone. And sometimes, you know, emotionally and things can get up, but since the pandemic with myself, what's helped me push forward with that kindness is because you have to step back and take a breath, because everybody's going through something. And you have to kind of like understand it, like when you get cut off or you're in the parking structure and somebody won't back up, or it's not a time to yell and scream at them, because you really don't know where they are, you know. And like I said, we're all in this together, but that word kindness is actually the key, because it creates the happiness, because it's good for the heart. And in order to, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because we're about kindness, compassion, and love here. And we try to put it out there. Sometimes you get tested. I just completed, I had a 3-week webinar session, and my topic is purpose. And that purpose moves with the who, the what, the how, and the when. So I just completed the last series of it, and I'll be moving into it. But when you were speaking, it's the kindness, even when you're dealing with students, when you're dealing with persons you don't know, you know, they're going through things and they'll come and test you. But you, as the holding on that leadership, not saying you're the expert, but they're there to learn. We're all there to learn together. But you have to kind of like pull back. Or they might say, well, we wanted more of this. And that's good. You need feedback. But instead of saying, well, you can't get it, blah, 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 you ask them, well, what would you like? And then you either get the answer or you don't get the answer, because they're not expecting you to come back and say, well, what would you like to do? You know, and it kind of like throws them. Well, that's an act of kindness. because you're running the show, but yet you still open it up to say, well, what would you like to do? I'm open. Let's see if that works. So I'm finding, and if you can do it with a smile in your voice or a happiness in your face, it's better because, like I said, we're all going through something one way or the other. And since we're all individuals, I talk about the fruit, you know, the fruit on the platter. I said, when you look at the fruit bowl, you say, that's a bowl of fruit. No, you can call it that, but it's different types of fruit. And they have different types of value, nutrition, feel, coloring. They're all fruit, but they're individual fruit. So every time I have run into a problem, I have to flashback. Now you'll have me going back to kindness, and I'll see that fruit bowl. And it will help me because I have to have the picture painted because I can fly. Okay? It's just part of my my temperament. But when you're aware of it and you're working on it, at times it's a good thing to put it out there because you have to rattle people, but you still can rattle them with kindness. Even if you're taking them to the hoop, you can be kind with it. But I'm going to take you to the riverbank, but I'm going to be kind with it. But I have to take you over there because that's the way it is. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that to us. I had one of my colleagues, I told her that you were coming on, and she was trying to get some work done. She's from Philippines. And she said, oh, my gosh, I remember her book. And Edwina from Texas, she texts back, and she said, oh, yeah, I have her book. I'm gonna try to listen in. But, you know, their time frame is so different. But she purchased your book the next day and took a picture of it and sent it back to
Thank you. She did.
She said, oh, yeah, remarkable person. And I said, that she is coming from, you know, where you have to come from. And it's just like such an honor to be able to, how can I say this, attract persons such as yourself. Because in our lives, we need to have this. That's why I tell you, you must be able to move in any arena. That you have to be able to do that. You can't just get stuck in your own neighborhood. But personally, as I tell the young men and the young ladies, try to build a relationship and try to attract persons with the same mindset as yours and that can inspire you. See, I enjoy your organization, National Congress of Black Women. I don't know. I know it's all over. But you are the Los Angeles chapter, and as I mentioned to you before, you know, we work with many, many organizations, and you go into many, many arenas, but you look for that one that's really actually doing something for those young adults. And I was so glad to have been a guest at that program because I learned a lot about the National Congress of Black Women. And the headquarters is in Washington, D.C., and the head president is Dr. Ife Williams. Am I correct on that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Dr. Ife Williams. And we were started founded by Shirley Chisholm. And that's why I like Kamala Harris. She was standing on the shoulders of Shirley Chisholm because she did run for first president, black woman, you know, in New York. And this is her organization, and it's a service organization. And that's why I love being a part of it and working with the chair in Washington, D.C. So we have chapters all over the world. And we come together during the week of the Congressional Black Caucus. Mm-hmm. And about 4,000 to 5,000 men and women, and we enjoy the Congressional Black Caucus. And then we also have our event, and we honor different people all over the world, you know. And just tell you, one of the ones that we did here in Los Angeles was Artist Lane. And, you know, she is the one who did the bust for Sojourner Truth that's in the White House Capitol. Yeah,
okay.
So I get really, passionate about it, you know, talking about all the things that we do too. And we help students. We always try to reach out and give scholarships to young students that cannot afford it. And we just finished a big program, which is the one that you attended. I think we gave away 16 scholarships. And
yes,
just seeing the look on those students' faces on Zoom, it was enough for me. I mean, it was just so refilling, you know, just to see that, you know, how the money that we gave them would allow them to get books or whatever they
yes.
needed to,
yes.
to help.
Well, I enjoyed the each one of them spoke, and I listened very closely, and I listened to their goals and their dreams and their desires, and I was saying it's already a done deal because they were appreciative. And any time a person knows that someone else or someone is believing in them, you know, we all have to know how to believe in ourselves, which some of us start late, don't start at all. But when you know someone is believing in you and they're encouraging you and giving you that fuel and that inspiration, it just, like, keeps you moving forward. Because of the pandemic, persons are becoming more kinder, some of them. Some of them are getting it because we're all up in this together. You see more smiles. You hear more hellos. You know, because we're all out here, and that's a good thing. So if nothing else has brought it about, I just want it to end. And then with all the fiascos that go on, you in the political arena, you're in the 60, you said 64th district?
Yes.
Assembly Dem, and I'm in Assembly 53. So I'm on this end, but I understand what that takes. And when I saw your slate out there, and I really admired, you said, and vote for each one of us. See, that's the way we have to do it. That's the way them Cal Dems work. You know, it might be seven people on the slate. You're out there. And when I first started, it was very hard to do that, you know, until you get into it. I'm not talking for me. I'm talking for all seven of us. And when you do it that way, and when you put it out like that, you know, you're like everybody's out there fighting together. Well, I want to congratulate you on that seat. And I've, you say, you know, you're going to have to go to Sacramento, blah, 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 blah. I know how I can get up there. I know what it takes to get there, and I know the preparation. And I've told my president, because I'm EAPD, I'm East Area Progressive Dem. And I says, I have four suits over here. I have a black one, I have a blue one, I have a brown one, I have a gray one. I said, get me busy. Okay, I said, I need to put on each one of those suits. I said, so we start here, we'll go on up to the state, we'll move on into the Congress, move on to the Senate, because they need some changes up there, okay? And I've always ran. My people were political. I come from a political family. And I, as a child, I couldn't stand it. And I ran from it. I ran, you know, and I just stayed away from it. My aunt was like, oh, gosh, she was like, ooh, be up there. She'd have brunches every Sunday and say, be here, Linda, at 3. And you know how I'd show up? Because I was defiant, and I didn't like those people. I'd go in my Daisy Dukes flip-flops and go through the back door, and she'd be upset. And I knew she was upset, but I was trying to upset her, you know, because I was that type of, you know how teenagers are. And why am I sitting here? So I just ran from it. But maybe 6 years back, you know, moving around, I find myself down at City Hall, and I'm saying, I can't stand this, I can't stand that, and I know every inch of it. And then when you get out there and having the pool and get those petitions signed and you meet people, you find out what the need is. That's what I enjoyed, because it forces you to meet people and go through not only your community but other communities, and the communities come on. So to be a servant of service within the community, it's something that takes a lot of skill, and you have to have a lot of love for it, because you're dealing with a lot of stuff out there. And for you to get that seven, a part of that seven, they got the right person in there. 53, because East Area, we carry a lot of districts over here. But I'm in district number 10, so I move through, so I find my candidates that I want to work with. And last year I didn't get on the slate because I wanted to work the backside. I wanted to see what happens behind. How can I support this way? Because if you're always out front getting petitions signed and talking, you don't know what's happening on the back end. So this time I pulled on the back end, but I'm extending my services out there to you. I have my shoes packed. I got my tennis shoes ready and whatever you need. And if you need my assistance, just please pick up the phone and call me.
Yes.
I am there for you. I'm there for you, as you have always been there for me. And again, we want to congratulate you. So it's the Assembly District 64. Okay.
Right.
Because when I do the summary, I like to put things out. You know, I try not to write a lot of stuff because I really want people to listen. But what I really want them to do, Ms. Harris, is to purchase Aileen that book, because they will find out some real good nuggets up in there. And it's inspirational. And it's sort of like, it's almost like a recipe, you know, the way that it's broken down. And that's, I have my host, Miyoshi. What's up, Miyoshi? She's young, and she loves to read. And I thought about you. I said, now how would she do it? My friend Edwina that purchased your book, she's a retired librarian, so she's into the books and the reading is very, very important. So she is always here for me. So when the book Cecily Tyson came out, I beat it down to get it. I got my book and her book. And I gave her that book, and she screamed. I said, because I know you like to read. And the thing that she said, I haven't had a chance to get into it, but Miss Linda, she's remarkable of how she never been, no matter what, through all her acting career, she never sold her shirts, and she only paid certain parts. She was so eloquent and such a classy lady, and she did that all through her life. That inspired her. For her to key in on that. She said the money is good and everything, and it might be a great thing, but she never lowered her standards. And that's what I liked about it. And she hadn't even got into it yet. And I was just over here laughing. I said, I got some more for you. I'm going to get you some Maya Angelou and some James Baldwin, some Lucille Clifton, because I love poetry, and I love Lucille Clifton because she's gutsy. So my librarian, when I was attending Antioch, the gentleman that helped us, you know, you'd say, hey, take a look at this. He's sort of like my angel. He walked up to me one day and he said, Linda, we're having our book, you know, thing. And we're having a book event, and I want you to recite some poetry. I said, I don't recite poetry. I don't know what that. So he said, take this book, and this is this lady here, and go read and pick out about six of them. And I said, okay. I started reading her. I said, oh, I like her. So before it was over with, I was asking him, I have to have a big event. I said, can I bring some musicians? He said, sure. Bring what you want, because that one, I think it was Homage to Her Hips, that one I really enjoyed. So I needed that congo player, and I needed that flautist and the sax player. So I brought my musicians in, and we had a ball. And he said, I knew. I said, why did you come and ask me to do that? He said, because I knew that you could do it. And so I kind of looked at him. So that is how, at this time, he reached back again. Okay, we want to bring you in as adjunct professor at Antioch. That was my BA, but I got my master's at Laverne, but I got two families. And he said, come on in and work this workshop and send me a list of topics. I said, okay. I must have sent him 20 topics in 10 minutes. He said, my goodness, you are all over the place. I said, I have been everywhere, all over the place. Now, which one are we going to start with? But see, that person believes in me. And that's my fuel. So no matter what is needed, just like yourself, your kindness, I keep up with you because I'm concerned and I'm caring. And when, like I said, Lena Brown connected us up, and that was the best thing that she could do, because, see, Lena Brown is going to push you to get as much on your brain as you possibly can get. Yeah. And she is.
Super, super.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to do that. So when I was speaking with her, she said, oh, please, I have a friend. I want you to meet her. And then I met you. So I'm finally, and I'll share this. I have to share it because through the kindness, and you mentioned the word kindness, through the pulling back, through the looking past the surface of people, you eventually learn and blend with the who you're supposed to be with. And I feel that this is my opportunity. So again, I'm thanking you with the listeners listening. And listeners out there, please do the same thing. You must find your think-alikes and only be around individuals who see your value as you see your value, not anything less. Because that can be draining and that can be very discouraging. You know, put yourself in a position, and like you said, you were with Chevron. They kept coming after you. 170 on the test, the top score has always been 100. You were getting ready to go to double. They said, oh, no, we cannot let this brain leave out of here. So they took you and they pushed you and gave you the opportunities, but it wasn't just them. It was what your mother had shared with you, that the sky is the limit. It's bred it at an early age. So I am honored to know you, honored. I'm putting out that call. I will find out about the National Congress of Black Women because those for you guys are my ladies because of what you do and what I have witnessed with how you inspire and encourage. And then your book, I'm waiting on book number two. And then after you get book number two, then you can help me with my pamphlet. I'm going to put out a pamphlet. I just said it can be a little bitty thin thing and just break it down because my focus is purpose, and that's what I ride on. So I like to share the purpose. It's something that keeps me going. And I think I will send you some information March 13th. The gentleman that wrote the book, I don't know if it's The Secret, his name is Don Miguel Ruiz. He had, I don't know if it was The Secret or The Five, but anyway, he's an author out there. And he has a new book, The Mystery of Self, and he will be the guest speaker for a five-hour symposium on March 13th, and that's through Antioch Continuing Education. And he will be there. It's going to be a pretty wellfulness, mindfulness thing. And I will probably open a breakout room because they'll have breakout rooms, and I'll be moving the purpose. So I'll get that information to you. I would love to have you check it out. I'd also love to have you meet the gentleman, the director of the department, because he would love you. I've already told him about your book, and, you know, these are like book people. So he does he's just remarkable. And I'm very, very honored to be able to blend. I call it blending the blanket, where persons such as yourself to take out your time. This is your weekend. You've had a lot to do. You've gone through a lot of things. And for you to just take out the time to assist and share and care with us, Ms. Harrison, means so much to me. And I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Always with the person that's so open, so friendly, and so eager to share with others. So I really appreciate your friendship and the things that you're doing. So only thing I want to say is that you never give up. And as you know, no matter where you come from, don't let that set you being like, you know, like me being from Mississippi. I just knew I could do anything. And I tell you, I just kept pushing all my life to try things. I figured that if I fail, I get up and dust off, because I ran for Carson City Council, Carson City Treasurer. I didn't win either position, but I didn't let that stop me. I said, I'm going to keep going. So that's my encouragement to everyone, is just, you know, if things don't go right, just keep trying. Don't stop, you know, because there's other people that are struggling, with things in life, and you just keep saying, I can do this, I can do this. And it's such a good feeling, because one day you wake up, wow, all that's behind me, look what I've done. You know, so it can happen to anyone.
Sure it can. And I'm laughing over here because it was funny to me, and I'll just share it, because you're absolutely correct. When I ran for, it was area rep, and I didn't know anything. They said, okay, we're going to help you, Linda. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know anything. Do you know? No, it wasn't a Cal Dem. I ran for county, Central County, okay?
Yeah.
And that was the second go out. I didn't know anything, but it was so funny to me because I had learned from the last year how to get out and get with the people, and I was working at social media. As a matter of fact, it was those that election that sent me back to Facebook, okay? And, mm-hmm. and what sent me back to the show was the pandemic. I was saying, what can I do? What can I do? And some said, go hit that button. Because I've been doing this show since 2013. I'm just, you know. And then when I went back to school, I hosted it out. But I would go in and out. But this has been around, you know, since 2013. And I said, what can I do? And that little boy said, go hit that button and encourage these people. That's what you do. Go open your mouth, hit that button, and get busy. So it was the election that got me filled, but I was laughing at myself, and I'm going to tell you the story because you're absolutely right. I did not have a lemonade stand. I didn't have a team. Okay, I didn't have a team.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have. And I was laughing because when those votes start tallied up, I was not too far behind. I didn't get the seat, but it made me feel good because I said, wow, if I would have had a campaign headquarters or either two on a team, I would have whooped her behind, okay? And it let me see something that is all on you. And now since the pandemic, you know, I've always said I am a boomer, not a zoomer. But when we had to all go virtually, and I started, they said, okay, I said, I don't know how to do the webinars. I don't have, just do it just like you're doing it now. Do you know I ended up being the makeup, the production, the lighting, the set design. Yeah. I call my set over here Studio A because I had to do everything. I couldn't get any, you know, we can't connect, right? Couldn't get my makeup done. Because that's too close. I said, look, you're going to get that eyebrow pencil, and you're going to do what you have to do because it has to be done. So the pandemic brings out your creativity, your will to keep going and not stop is what I'm saying, and to never, ever, ever give up on what you're doing. It's like my parents used to say, you know, the goal is down there. So what, you drop the ball, but it's right there, pick it up and keep going. So you never, ever go back. You never, never retreat. And so coming out of Mississippi, you know, we close down there, even though it's the South, it's a different type of South. But, you know, Texas is another world. Texas is another world. We're taught differently and we're bred it differently there. So I can relate to it. And on that note, I'd like to say, Ms. Harris, it has been a pleasure. You have made my week. I told them they was going to find something out on Friday. And I will be in contact with you. We love you. I want you to get some rest. Please, please get some rest. And again, we extend it. This is Aline Brown Harris, the first African-American scientist with Chevron Oil. I will be summarizing out there. And Ms. Harris, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. And please enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. And God bless you and all the listeners.
Thank you. And thank you for those wonderful compliments and this big smile you have put on my face. You know, I'm learning how to take that praise, okay?
Yes, absolutely. You deserve it. You're a hard worker. And happy Valentine's to you and all.
Thank you.
Break it up.
Love you.
With Linda,
care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
All through the land.
We give, showing others how to live.